What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, a lot to get into today because it's Monday, the final mock draft Monday. This is version 7.0. So just like last week, we won't have time to get into voicemails today because we're going to have a very draft-heavy show. And we're going to start it by talking about Tom Telesco's pre-draft comments, which we got on Friday. He had some more interesting comments. He had some comments about Desmond King, about linebackers, about offensive tackles, and about durability. So you're going to want to hear that. And then in the second segment, we're going to be getting into the first part of our mock draft Monday, talking about our first through fourth round pick. So we'll go two at a time and give our first and second round pick. And then later on in the segment, go third and fourth. And then the last segment, we'll go five and six before wrapping things up with the seventh pick to finish up our seven round mock draft and just talk about how the whole process went, if we got the guys we want, and so much more. But let's go ahead and get into it. Los Angeles Chargers general manager Tom Telesco spoke for the final time before the 2020 NFL draft, and what he said has many wondering if Tua Tagovailoa is an option for the team. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Los Angeles Chargers general manager Tom Telesco held a Zoom conference call with the media on Friday, and once again, he had more interesting comments, this time about the offensive line, about durability in the draft. He also talked about the linebacker position with the Chargers and said that they feel really good about the players that they have there right now, maybe leading some to think they're not going to potentially draft a linebacker as highly as we thought when Anthony Lynn said that they might bring somebody in. But after all of the comments were said, David, I think that the comment that had the most implications for the 2020 draft had to be his comments about durability. Because when you're talking about durability, the Chargers have had some very injured first round picks. And in this draft class, there's one particular quarterback who has been very injured, and his medicals have been the talk of the town. So I think durability was the comment that caught my ear the most.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting to read what Daniel Popper of The Athletic had to say. He specifically asked general manager Tom Telesco about durability and how important it was and where he ranked that. And Tom Telesco said very, very high. I can't even estimate the amount of hours we put into our medical portion of it. Our team doctors, both orthopedic and general medicine, do a ton of work for us. He also made the comment that he has got his hands on every single draft eligible player. His team doctors have evaluated all of them. They have all the medical information on every single player. Tua Tagovailoa was also a part of that group. You know, if you can't get on the football field, then you can't help anybody. But this answer is going to be political from Tom Telesco. He's not going to give any information or any indications on where he's going to go one way or another. But it was interesting for those comments to come out so close to the draft. It might indicate that the Chargers might pass on Tua because of the injury issues, but it also might mean nothing at all.
And the funny thing about that specifically is that if the Chargers wanted to get other teams off their scent pursuing Tua Tagovailoa, one of the things you would do is say, hey, he's too injured, we are not interested. And that could obviously be a smokescreen to get other teams away from it. But one of the other comments he said was that he doesn't do smokescreens, which in itself could be its own smokescreen. So it was pretty funny, but you're right. Everything right now that you hear from general managers is going to be put under a microscope and really picked apart, because everything could mean something. And in this season, when general managers are lying left and right, and the Chargers have one of the tightest lip general managers in the NFL, I wouldn't expect you were going to be getting anything truthful out of Tom Telesco at this point. But the other comments that he had that I thought were most interesting were about the left tackle position. The Chargers addressed right tackle by bringing in Brian Bulaga in the offseason, but the left tackle right now that is slated to start is Trey Pipkins, who was a third round pick last season out of Sioux Falls, which was a Division III school. And it's a very up in the air position for the Chargers. But Tom Telesco did say, David, that the team does have options and they're thinking about trying out new things at left tackle.
Yeah, one of the comments that kind of struck me, and I'm sure struck many other people, was that he said that Sam Tevy had very good left tackle feet. And he also had Trey Pipkins, which got some time for us last year, played okay. And then you have Forrest Lamp, who he mentioned, who also played left tackle for all 4 years in college, but hasn't played any tackle of any kind in the NFL. The big thing about Sam Tevy having left tackle feet, mind you, this is a guy who's given up 16 sacks in the last 2 years, and according to PFF, has had pass blocking grades of 40.2 and 58, and those are not very good. That's not something that you would look to see that would transition well to the left side, as the left side of the offensive line is normally a lot more demanding than the right side. So I don't know exactly how much truth there is about them trying to move Sam Tevy over to the left side. We don't know who's going to play left tackle right now. They brought in Storm Norton, and they have a couple other internal options like you mentioned, but I think there's a strong chance that they could also try to address this position in the draft as well. Obviously, there's a lot of options and not a lot of information, but it will clear itself up very soon.
Yes, it will. And I think one of the things to keep in mind is just the fact that the Chargers have been said to be very high on Trey Pipkins. So that might impact the chances of them taking an offensive tackle high in this draft. But one thing is for sure, if Sam Tevy was struggling on the right side, it's hard to feel good about him making a transition to the left side. And with Forrest Lamp saying that he could potentially play left tackle, seems a little bit far-fetched because he hasn't even been able to stay healthy enough to keep down the left guard position and take that away from Dan Feeney, who hasn't been great in the NFL so far. So Tom Telesco is doing what has to be done, but there's one thing I am fairly confident about. If there was anything he could have said that would have possibly cost the Chargers getting someone they want, you wouldn't hear it in that press conference. But we do have two more segments to get into because it's Mock Draft Monday 7.0. The draft is coming up this week, guys, and we're going to give you our top four picks coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, the time has come. Mock Draft Monday version 7.0, giving three separate seven-round mock drafts from me, David, and John Kegley, who's back on the show with us, to give his seven-round mock draft of what he thinks the Chargers are going to do when draft day comes. But we are going to start with giving our first two picks, the top two picks, and I promised you a quarterback would be taken with these two picks. So, David, I will start with you. Who are you going with the first two picks of your final 2020 NFL mock draft?
Well, I kind of been all over the place with my first round picks. Obviously, I started with Isaiah Simmons, and then I went to Mekhi Becton. But I think truly in my heart, I know that the Chargers are more than likely going to select a quarterback with the sixth overall pick, and I have them taking Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. I truly believe that after everything that I've heard, Miami could quite possibly pass on him, pick Justin Herbert, and Tua would fall perfectly into the Chargers' lap. I feel like he would fit in the culture. I think he has the swagger. I think he would sell tickets. I think he would be exciting. He's not going to be expected to play right away, and he's going to go under an experienced NFL quarterback that plays similar type of style game that he does. So I think it would be a perfect situation for him. In the second round, I have my pick going to Ezra Cleveland, the offensive tackle out of Boise. This guy's a monster, 6'6", 311 pounds, very athletic. He can get out in space and block effectively, and I enjoyed watching his tape. I thought he was a pretty solid player. I think if he's there in the second round, that's definitely the guy I would like to see them pick. It's time for the Chargers to address offensive line early in the draft, and I think a good way to do that would be taking Ezra Cleveland. So I got Tua in the first, Ezra Cleveland in the second. Daniel?
Yeah, so Tua is definitely on the board, and I think right now it's the most realistic it's been for him to actually make it to six. So now, John, it's your turn. Who do you think the Chargers are going to select in the top two rounds of the NFL draft?
Well, I have the same two picks as David did. Right now, I think Justin Herbert's going to be picked by the Dolphins just because of the injury news that's been coming out. I think Tua might fall to the Chargers, and the Chargers can either use leverage of trading the sixth pick because of Tua, or they can just take Tua and get ticket sales with them because all the Charger fans seem to want him, and that'd be an easy way to fill a stadium if they allow fans in the stadium. Yeah. I think that's going to be the route they go with. And then second round, I think the last great left tackle that you could possibly have a chance at would be Ezra Cleveland. And after that, it's just going to be a bunch of guys that are kind of like projects. And I think the Chargers are going to go after him and fix the left side of that offensive line. I thought they would go Tristan Wirfs when we first started all this to fix that the offensive line, but it's looking a lot more clear that they want Tua. And it looks a lot like Tua's going to fall to them, so left tackle has to be the second-round pick, and it's Ezra Cleveland, that's the obvious option at that spot.
Well, the funny thing about Ezra Cleveland is, first of all, he was almost my second-round pick, and I'm glad I didn't go that way because, spoiler alert, we all would have had the same top two picks, and everyone knows how much I love Tua. So he is going to be my first-round pick. But getting back to Ezra Cleveland, he's just such a smooth operator. When you just see him out there, he mirrors edge defenders with, I mean, seemingly not even trying at all. And he has, you know, upside as well. And I hate to use the term upside so much, but you could actually see him getting a little bit stronger, adding a more physical punch to his repertoire. And I think I liked him. The more offensive tackles I watched after the big three or the big four, the more I ended up liking Ezra Cleveland. I mean, I liked his tape more than I like Austin Jackson's tape, and he's going to be a first rounder. I think Josh Jones is another guy that'll probably get taken in the first round, but could be an option if he fell to the Chargers with the second pick. But for my second pick, I went with a guy I've been crushing on the entire draft process, and that is Jalen Reagor, a guy you've seen me pick in the second round before, so I won't get into it too much, but the main reasons are he gives you a deep threat with whatever his 40 time said it was. He is absolutely a deep threat and can be in the NFL, and he brings you that X factor. Get him the ball short, let him go to work, and can just get those yards after the catch. So these are, you know, these guys have flaws as well, but I'm going with Tua, who I think would be an absolute home run for the Chargers with the sixth overall pick, and Jalen Reagor as my wide receiver three for the Chargers, with the ability, not knowing what's going to happen with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, to potentially have, you know, a more legitimate number one or number two receiver down the road, depending on how those things play out. So let's get into rounds three and four. We've already gone over this. Mine have both changed, I'm pretty sure. And John, I want to know who you are going with for the Chargers. Who do you think the Chargers are going to take with their third and fourth selections, the 71st and the 112th overall picks?
Well, I've seen Devin Duvernay go anywhere between the third and fifth round. So as of right now, I'm going to project him to go in the third round to the Chargers. I think they're going to pick up a nice wide receiver who could be a reliable third down target, whose hands are really good, who can catch in traffic, and it's going to be a guy that complements Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry very well. And then in the fourth round, you got to start getting some power into the running back system. You got to have a little bit more of that lower the shoulder and drive the legs type of running back, and I think that would be A.J. Dillon. I've even seen a lot of mock drafts agreeing with me that A.J. Dillon could go to the Chargers in the fourth round, which was kind of surprising because mock drafts never agree with me. So if we got A.J. Dillon and Devin Duvernay, I think you would have two reliable guys, not so much playmakers, but guys that would be reliable in clutch situations. So if you needed that third and one, A.J. Dillon. If you have third and seven, Devin Duvernay, I think those would be two good picks for the Chargers, and I believe they've looked at them as well.
Yeah, and I think both guys, you know, they might not be technically starters. I mean, I guess in a three wide receiver formation, he could be a starter, but they're both guys that could come in and contribute. And I think when you're talking about that, that's two pretty good picks right there. So now you've gotten wide receiver off your needs checklist, and you've also got running back off your needs checklist. So David, how were you addressing needs when you were picking, as Tom Telesco, picking the picks you would want in the third and fourth rounds?
All right, so starting in the third round, my pick stays the same here. I'm with Bryce Hall, the cornerback out of Virginia, 6'1", 202-pounder, physical outside corner, guy that I believe will play very well in the Charger secondary. Obviously, Michael Davis is the penciled-in starter opposite of Casey Hayward, but I think there's some competition that needs to be added to that position, and they need to get younger. Casey Hayward is not getting any younger. They need to start addressing that position. I think that they can potentially get a guy that can definitely grow and add to this defense with Bryce Hall. And then the fourth, I honestly, the more I've heard John talk about A.J. Dillon, the more I like the pick. And that's kind of where I went as well. I went with A.J. Dillon, the running back out of Boston College. He's just a monster. He's a guy that is going to be able to run in between the tackles. He's going to run people over. He's going to help you in the short yard, the third downs, the red zones. That's the type of guy that's going to complement Justin Jackson and Austin Ekeler. I would also be okay with Ben Bartsch out of St. John's as well.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like John and David like got together before this. I mean, if I didn't know the two of them so well, I would have thought that they did, because they have so many of the same picks. I mean, three out of four for you guys, and I'm going with neither of the guys that you picked, but I get why you went there. AJ Dillon is a guy that I struggled with because I think if, you know, if he was falling somewhere around the fifth or the sixth and you're getting someone that can just fill that role of being a short yardage back and the between the tackles back, I had Zach Moss as my fourth round pick, and I think he has a little bit more upside to be just a, you know, more explosive ball carrier in the NFL. But at the same time, I understand why he went there. He would fill a big need for them. So for my third round pick, I changed it up a little bit. One of the guys I had been on was Bryce Hall, who you went with, David. But I kind of started to sway in this most recent one. I went with Cameron Dantzler out of Mississippi State. And one of the things I wanted to just say really quick is that today alone, I saw Cameron Dantzler going at the end of the first round, and I saw Cameron Dantzler going at the end of the fifth round. So while we're doing this and trying to make these picks, understand that it's almost impossible to get any kind of consistency through any kind of mock draft. I use the Pro Football Focus mock draft and the Pro Football Network mock draft and the Draft Network mock draft. There's no consistency between them. So we really have
very volatile.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up going with Cameron Dantzler in this one. And I mean, there's some similarities between him and Bryce Hall, notably that both of them, you know, are projecting, had pretty slow 40 times that are probably going to make them drop. And I think for most teams, Cameron Dantzler might just be off the board in general, just because he's not a guy that is going to come in with that speed and play a lot of man-to-man coverage. But for the Chargers specifically, this is a guy that would work out well for them, especially giving competition to Michael Davis, CB2 across from Casey Hayward. I love the way that he comes up and wants to finish tackles. He wants to lay big hits on guys when he can. Tackling could be an issue just because he's 6'1" and 180 pounds somewhere around there. So he's not the biggest guy, but I love the feistiness he plays with. And I think that going into a cover three could cover a lot of the biggest flaws that he has. But as far as a player sticking in receivers' pockets, coming up to make hits, being able to separate the ball from wide receivers making the catch, Cameron Dantzler checks all of those boxes. And you're not going to get a perfect product in the third round. But for me, trying to make this the most complete roster I have, now I have a quarterback, I have an elite wide receiver prospect, and now I have a corner that can actually go in there and possibly compete with Michael Davis early. And David, the guy you mentioned, I went with Ben Bartsch in the fourth round. And I know I've seen him go the third round, I've seen him go the fifth round, but I went with him in the fourth round. And I think that, you know, mostly this has to do with the Chargers going to with the first overall pick, missing out on that first batch of tackles and not knowing who is going to be there in the second round. Ezra Cleveland, if I was going to go tackle, that's probably where I would draw the line as far as, all right, after this, you're basically getting all developmental projects. Right, so Ben Bartsch, a guy who converted at St. John's, which is another D3 school, another offensive tackle from a D3 school. I mean, what else could go wrong? But I really actually liked what I saw from him. I was surprised. I was surprised the Chargers met with him. I was surprised I've seen him shooting up draft boards. But I mean, really, the biggest weaknesses in this guy's game are just that he hasn't been doing it a very long time and he went up against subpar competition. Besides that, as far as mirroring guys, as far as, you know, having the athletic ability to play the position, you know, being quick enough, having good enough footwork, all of those things, he checks those boxes. So the Chargers get another developmental project. You have the right side and Brian Bulaga. Now the left side could be a competition between Ben Bartsch and Trey Pipkins or whoever, but Brian Bulaga is not the long-term answer. This gives the Chargers somebody that has swing tackle capabilities and potential and, you know, has the upside to be a starter down the road. So I actually really liked what I saw. I just wouldn't recommend drinking whatever drink he drank to gain 60 pounds in one summer because that looked absolutely atrocious. But I like the way we've done it so far. Four rounds in the book. We still have three more rounds to get into for the Mock Draft Monday version 7.0 coming up right after this. All right, guys, getting into rounds 5 through 7. Now it's time to get into the nitty-gritty. Now it's time to really not know where the hell anybody is going to go in rounds 5 through 7. But let's give it our best shot and go with the guys we would take there if they were still available when the Chargers are on the clock. So John, I'll start with you this time, going with picks 5 and 6 for the Chargers. How do you think they're going to do it?
Well, I think they're going to target the corner in the fifth round. And there's a guy that they have interviewed and they've looked at a lot, and that would be A.J. Green, the cornerback at Oklahoma State. Usually when the Chargers interview someone that's in the later rounds and it makes headlines or makes an article, usually means they tend to go with them. So I'm thinking A.J. Green is going to be their fifth round pick. And then in the sixth round, the Chargers got to start finding a second tight end that can actually be a part of the offense. And Jerod Pickney is there at the sixth pick when the Chargers select, and I think they're going to go with the tight end out of Vanderbilt, who's got decent size, can catch the ball. He's okay at blocking, but he's not looking to be that blocking guy. That's what you have other guys to do, some third or fourth round guy, some third or fourth string guy that you could pick up anywhere. Even Virgil Green right now could do that kind of stuff for him. If you got to find another pass catching tight end, I think that's where they go with that. I think if you pick up AJ Green, you could probably have your developmental corner who seems to be learning pretty fast. And Oklahoma State has produced some pretty decent corners over the past few years. And then if you get Jared Pickney, I think you're helping complement Hunter Henry in the passing game.
Yeah, I like a developmental pick at tight end and corner because I think the lightning round brought it up on just who they thought the biggest need was for the Chargers going into this and that they had to address. They said corner just because we all know Michael Davis isn't the answer, and we also know that Casey Hayward is getting up there, so you have to plan for the future. You have to get a corner here, and I feel like AJ Green is the guy that everybody thinks he's the sleeper they're going to get late in the draft. So in this case, you ended up securing him in the fifth round, which I think should be an option for the Chargers. And if I was going to go later, he was a guy that I was targeting to go on if I hadn't gone with Cameron Dantzler. David, who are you going with rounds 5 and 6?
Well, in the fifth round, I mean, I'm going to stay with my original pick that I've had the last couple weeks, and that's Devin Duvernay, the wide receiver out of Texas, for all the same reasons that John mentioned earlier. Just toughness, physicality, strong hands, very reliable on third downs, and I think would be – and a guy that just brings speed. He is a 4.39 guy. He's going to absolutely fly down the football field. And if he isn't there and if he does get picked earlier, I'm okay with Isaiah Hodgkins out of Oregon State University too. Big guy, 6'4", kind of in the same mold of Tyrell Williams. Doesn't have the same speed, but I still think he could help. Very, very, very good hands. In the sixth round, I stayed with Jacob Phillips, the linebacker out of LSU, a tackling machine. He's a little small on the weight. You know, he's 6'3", he has good height, but he's only 230 pounds. He probably needs to put on a little bit of weight at the next level. He's a good processor, a good strong tackler. And if I go with Ben Bartsch in the fourth round, I'm okay with addressing running back in the sixth round in the form of Siwo Olanualua. I know I messed that up, but I'm sorry. He's another big, big guy, 6'3", 240-pound running back at a TCU. I mean, that's the type of running back I think the Chargers should target. I mean, it should be in that mold, a guy who can definitely bring the damage. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Those are my picks in the fifth and sixth round.
Obviously, you have a running back, so you wouldn't have gotten A.J. Dillon in the fourth if you had gone Ben Bartsch. But I like the way you went with it. I think those are both upside picks, especially, I mean, Jacob Phillips, he's probably going to help you on special teams right off the bat. And with Devin Duvernay, I think the only thing I've really seen about him is just, you know, potentially him being in the slot and having Keenan Allen in the slot at the same time. But for me, I mean, I've seen Duvernay line up outside. I've seen Keenan Allen line up outside. So I really don't think that's necessarily as big of a deal as some people might think. So for the fifth round, I'm going running back in this one. I'm going Antonio Gibson, who has been shooting up draft boards. I mean, especially recently just because of his explosiveness. And we talked about Antonio Gibson's on the running back show. And what I just love about him is just the potential to be, I mean, even more than what he could be right away, which is someone that is a bigger guy at 228. He also ran under a 4.440. So this guy has all of the athletic ability in the world. He only touched the ball 77 times while he was at Memphis in a crowded backfield and also playing receiver. He's a versatile running back that can also help you in short yardage and goal line situations. And he just has, I mean, video games written all over him. I mean, when that guy touched it in college, I think he had 14 total touchdowns on 77 total touches. So, I mean, that's the kind of playmaker that this guy is. And for a fifth-round pick, for a position you already have a couple of guys you like, I like the upside pick of Antonio Gibson in the fifth round. And with the sixth-round pick, this is a guy I've also seen way all over draft boards, and I wasn't even necessarily considering him as a linebacker, but that is Tanner Mews from Clemson, who, I mean, has been, you know, in the college football national championship game over the last few seasons and has made some really big plays in the playoffs as well. But in this scenario, he's moving down to a will linebacker position. And when I watched Tanner Mews, the thing I thought of most was just, you know what, he's actually at his best when he's in the box. So I think the transition to a weak side linebacker position makes a lot of sense. And I mean, he's explosive. He plays with physicality for a safety. And now, I mean, you're having him be the weak side linebacker, not the Mike linebacker. So I think he's definitely physical enough to play that weak side linebacker position. And he has all of that safety experience that will help him out in coverage as well. So for me, this is a pick I kind of linked to the pick the Chargers made with Kazir White. This is what they thought they were getting in Kazir White, taking a safety, turning him into a weak side linebacker to improve the overall athleticism and speed of the linebacking core, which is something that I think the Chargers definitely need to do. So that's why I went with Tanner Muse, sixth round pick, definitely kind of a project, but will step on the field and help your special teams out right away, and played special teams at Clemson. And I think having him transition while you have guys like Nick Vigil, and you also have guys like Drew Tranquil and Denzel Perryman already on the roster, let this guy come in, let him work himself into sub packages and work on special teams and see what happens. So that's who I like for it. I got an explosive running back, and I also got a guy at linebacker that could potentially turn into a starter later down the road. But now it's time for this seventh pick. This is mock draft version 7.0, so it's time to give the final pick of the Chargers 2020 NFL draft. David, let's start with you. Who are you going with in the seventh round?
So in the seventh round, I'm looking for guys that can bring some versatility, some guys that can address maybe multiple positions, definitely help you on special teams, but also maybe be able to help you at a couple different positions as well. So that manifested itself for me in the form of Dalton Keene, the tight end out of Virginia Tech. 6'4", 253 pounds. He played H-back, he played fullback, he played tight end. This guy was all over the field. He also helped on special teams, so he's going to definitely carve out a role on special teams in the NFL. And, you know, with Derek Watt going to play with his brother in Steeler land, there's an opportunity for potentially Dalton Keene to maybe get some reps at fullback. You never know. But I like his versatility, like I mentioned. That's the biggest thing. Obviously, in the seventh round, you're just looking for guys that are going to be able to contribute. There's no guarantee that they're going to be able to make the team. But I like what this kid brings to the table, and I think he could potentially make the team. So Dalton Keene, Virginia Tech, the tight end. That is my seventh round pick.
I like it in terms of versatility. Maybe he does fill in, you know, for some fullback reps because the Chargers don't have one right now. So I like that. I mean, obviously 21 catches as a senior is something that would worry you as far as how productive can he be as a pass catcher in the NFL. But if he's filling multiple positions, if he's playing special teams, then I could see you justifying that pick. So John, who are the Chargers going to take with the seventh round pick?
I'm going between two guys right now. There's Chris Orr, the linebacker from Wisconsin, but I also see that the Ravens look like they have a lot of interest in him, and he fits the Ravens' defense a little bit better than ours and can probably play longer in theirs. And there's also Azur Kamara, who's a linebacker, a Jack linebacker from Kansas that the Chargers have actually interviewed. Between the two, I think it's more likely that Azur Kamara is the Chargers' seventh-round pick, so for right now I'm going to go with him. This is a guy who had 51 total tackles in 2019 from the edge/jack linebacker position. Also had 4 sacks. And this is in a pretty bad defense. Like the Jayhawks are a pretty horrible college football team, but this guy was a star there as far as how well he played. Now, you're not going to look at him and go, oh, I got to go to Kansas to see that guy play. But he was pretty good, and the Chargers have interviewed him. They have looked at him. And this could be their seventh-round pick, and I think they could use him for a lot of things, especially probably a developmental edge rusher when Ingram or Joey Bosa leaves.
Yeah, I think another guy, I mean, I know superfan Zach brought him up, is Derek Tuska out of North Dakota State, another North Dakota State linebacker. I think the Chargers probably had enough with Kyle Emanuel out of there, and I think that there's probably some similarities there, but that could be another late edge rusher. But I like the way you're going there. I think both of those guys would fulfill certain needs for the Chargers. And, I mean, the important thing to think about with all of these meetings, especially with the later round guys, is the Chargers are probably getting their foot in the door for if those guys become undrafted free agents, right? Because the Chargers are one of the premier destinations to go to for undrafted free agents. So I think with a lot of these super late round picks, I think Mikey Daniel, the fullback from South Dakota State, is another one that probably fits in those boxes too. I mean, these could be guys they're lining up for undrafted free agency too. So I think that's important to think about. So for me, I went with Michael Unwenu, a guy that I liked when I was watching the East-West Shrine Game. And when you're talking about, you know, if you're making a sculpture, all you want is a big slab of marble. That's basically what I'm doing for the Chargers with this. I mean, there's a logjam right now at the left guard position with potentially Trent Scott going there, Dan Feeney, Forrest Lamp, if he doesn't kick out to left tackle. But there's not a lot of, you know, hope at the position right now. I think the Chargers could still address it and should still address the interior offensive line, but this isn't the best draft class to do it. So with Unwenu, I just went with a guy that is literally just an immovable object. I mean, 350 pounds, 6'3". You're not going to, I mean, it's really hard to get around him. It's really almost impossible to go through him, and he doesn't have a lot as far as, you know, athleticism, as far as footwork goes. He could use a lot of help, but as far as, hey, here's a guy, he's 350 pounds, he has a mean streak in him that can kind of bury guys in the run game and just kind of see what you can do with him. For a 7th-round pick, sign me up for Michael Unwenu. So I really like how these played out, guys. I mean, obviously, you know, if we take any slack for 7th-round picks, it's pretty hard to make 7th-round selections, which is why we haven't seen a lot of, you know, very impactful 7th-round picks in a long time. I mean, Isaac Rochelle, Justin Jackson are a couple, and the Chargers are better than most are. So there could be a contributor late in the draft. We'll see where the Chargers go. It seems like the farther the Chargers get in a draft, the more off the wall they start going with positions that they don't even necessarily need to fill. But I like what we ended up doing in this. For me, I definitely wanted to try to make this the most complete roster as I could. I got a quarterback, I got an offensive tackle, I got Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, I got cornerback help, I got running back help, linebacker, and some interior offensive line. I didn't get a tight end. I didn't love this class for tight ends. I think the Chargers, you know, will probably have a year of Donald Parham and hopefully get Hunter Henry extended, and maybe that plays itself out. But I think it was a really good mock, guys. I mean, 7 rounds, guys. I mean, how much time went into this? David, I know this is the most in-depth you've gotten into, you know, draft and scouting and all that stuff. These picks get hard towards the end, man.
Oh, my goodness, man. After the third, fourth round, I mean, it's really, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard blind. You have no idea where any of these guys are going to go. The draft is so volatile, especially this year with everything being completely different and really having a lot less access than, you know, years past. You just don't know where players are going to go. But I think we all kind of wanted to address the same positions. We all wanted a wide receiver, a running back. We all wanted, you know, we all wanted an offensive lineman. We all wanted a quarterback. So I think we're all pretty much aligned on what the Chargers need to address in this draft. But, man, I put many, many hours into this. It was fun. It was definitely difficult. It was a learning experience. But I can't wait to do it again next year.
Absolutely. I mean, I think most of us, you know, tried to fill the Chargers' biggest needs. And I think you guys did maybe a little bit better as far as getting offensive line help with Ezra Cleveland. I think he's, you know, a different tier prospect than Ben Bartsch is, obviously. But I do feel like I got the best receiver out of the group, which is something that, you know, in my mind, I was wanted to fulfill. And I think if I was going to go other directions, I think there's definitely some more receivers later on in the draft. If I decided, you know, if Patrick Queen fell to the Chargers in the second round, if I decided to go with Ezra Cleveland or offensive tackle, if Josh Jones goes there. So there's definitely more help out there. But that was a lot of fun. We are going to continue our draft coverage this week, and we'll have another position group that we're breaking down tomorrow. You'll have to come back to see which position group we're breaking down, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks to everyone who came in and listened to today's mock draft. We wanted to get into, you know, user mock drafts and fan mock drafts and stuff like that. We just literally, this is such a crazy time, we just literally didn't have enough time to do it. So thank you to everyone for listening. Until next time, guys, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to call into the voicemail line with your mock draft, we are happy to have them. The number is 323-524-7924. You call in now, hey, maybe those picks line up. Maybe, you know, you nail it and we get to talk about it after the draft when we get back to doing voicemails and all of that. But we will talk with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.